General C.Q. Brown attempts to calm fears about the safety of U.S. troops in a Gaza aid operation. What did he tell a roundtable of reporters? Produced by Defense News and Military Times, this is the Early Bird Brief. Each morning, we bring you the defense and national security news of the day.
There's a number of terrorist groups operating in the Middle East, and U.S. troops will literally be just floating targets there for these groups. So it's a concern that's been raised by a number of Republican lawmakers and a couple of Democrats on Capitol Hill.
Also, U.S. Navy destroyers countered a series of drone attacks by Houthi rebels. What does this all mean for our defense and security? You'll find out. I'm your host, Simone Perez. Today is Friday, March 29th, 2024. Hey, y'all. If you haven't listened to yesterday's episode, we do have an announcement. Today will be the last episode of the Early Bird Brief. We're sorry to say that, and Jonathan and I share this news reluctantly, but have also so enjoyed bringing you your national security news of the day each morning. Despite this, the news doesn't stop, so please be sure to look at our newsletters and stories at militarytimes.com and defensenews.com. Now back to the show. First up, after President Joe Biden announced the humanitarian aid operation near the Gaza Strip, some Republicans expressed concern about force protection, but military leaders say troops will be well protected. For more on this, Capitol Hill Bureau Chief Leo Shane III joins the episode. So, Leo, what were some Republican lawmakers' concerns about the operation off the coast of Gaza to build a pier?
Yeah, we got a letter on Thursday from Republicans on the Senate Armed Services Committee about this humanitarian mission and these plans to build a floating dock in Gaza to provide aid. And, you know, the Republican members said they're very concerned about force protection issues here. They're worried that U.S. troops could be put in harm's way. Obviously, there's active fighting going on in Israel. On top of that, there's a number of terrorist groups operating in the Middle East, and U.S. troops will literally be just floating targets there for these groups. So it's a concern that's been raised by a number of Republican lawmakers and a couple of Democrats on Capitol Hill, and one that the White House has been trying to knock down for the last few weeks since the president announced his plans for this humanitarian mission back in the State of the Union address.
But some senior military leaders believe troops building the pier will be well protected and safe. What did they say to ameliorate those fears?
Yeah, look, Joint Chief Chairman General C.Q. Brown on Thursday, just a few hours after that letter came out and said, look, force protection is at the top of our list. It's the thing that we focus on the most, and it's going to be the thing that the U.S. military is focused on as these troops get out there. There's going to be about 1,000 U.S. troops involved in this mission, Navy and Army for the most part, at least seven or eight different ships are planning to be out there for this construction effort. So it's a pretty big contingent, and part of that contingent security is built into. There will be some other assets being used to monitor the area. And Brown said that he's been in close touch with the Israeli Defense Forces, in touch with other allies about making sure that those U.S. troops aren't put in harm's way as they do this. We've heard that refrain from the White House, too, that they really are focused on this. They don't want U.S. troops on the ground in Israel. This is not the precursor to some sort of U.S. military mission there. This is really focused just on the humanitarian needs and the humanitarian situation there, and trying to get some desperately needed aid into that area to refugees as soon as possible.
Another important story, a Navy warship took out 4 long-range airborne drones that were headed toward it earlier Wednesday in the Red Sea. U.S. Central Command did not identify the ship involved. Multiple Navy destroyers have spent recent months in the Red Sea intercepting drones and missiles from Iran-backed Houthi rebels on a near daily basis. Wednesday's incident took place over 20 minutes, starting at 2 a.m. local time. The warship took the drones out in self-defense, and no injuries or damage were reported to U.S. and coalition ships in the area. The attack came after a 3-day lull in Houthi attacks reported by CENTCOM. Also on your radar for today, the Pentagon made its defense industrial cybersecurity strategy public yesterday. For more on this, military networks and cybersecurity reporter Colin Demarest joins the episode. So, Colin, what did the Pentagon think should be done to beef up cyber defense in the defense industry?
The Pentagon has a lot of strategies, as I'm sure you know, and as I'm sure our listeners know. While this one, the 2024 Defense Industrial Base Cybersecurity Strategy, is lower in profile than, say, the National Defense Strategy, it is still incredibly important. Defense officials have described contractors and suppliers as a soft underbelly that hackers and spies can and do exploit, and this strategy is aimed at further insulating that industry. The document has four goals, including preserving supply chains critical to military manufacturing and improving communication between the public and private players. And there are subsequent objectives, such as more quickly reporting and recovering from cyber attacks. The department itself has suffered more than 12,000 so-called cyber incidents since 2015, with yearly totals falling since 2017, according to the Government Accountability Office. The department for fiscal 2025 also requested about $14.5 billion for cyber activities.
What did the strategy outline as some of the U.S.'s biggest concerns or biggest threats?
The obvious answer is Russia or China. Both are known to have serious cyber arsenals, and they poke and prod U.S. networks continuously. You should also consider Iran and North Korea a threat. But there are also threats posed by insiders, employees or troops that abscond with sensitive or proprietary info and don't always get caught. Two examples that I often cite. The National Security Agency, FBI, and other federal entities in October 2022 said hackers managed to infiltrate a company, sustain persistent long-term access to its networks, and make off with important data. That victim has gone unnamed. Years before that, Chinese-sponsored cyber attacks breached a Navy contractor's computers, jeopardizing info at the time that was tied to work on an anti-ship missile. David McEwen, the Deputy Chief Information Officer for Cybersecurity, told reporters at the Pentagon during the strategy rollout that no one should underestimate the power of a hacker. That power, he said, has played out often.
And now here's some other stories that we're hearing chirps about. Police in Greece clashed this week with communist-backed demonstrators who tried to prevent a concert by U.S. military cadets. According to the Army's top civilian housing official, the service hopes to begin work on its first privatized barracks building for junior enlisted troops at Fort Irwin, California. The Boston Herald reported that the former superintendent of Holyoke Soldiers Home, where at least 76 veterans died in the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic, admitted to five charges of neglect but will serve no prison time. And the Coast Guard said yesterday that it was searching for a U.S. Marine who went missing while swimming in high surf off Puerto Rico's northeast coast. He was on vacation. And on this day in history, in 1865, the Appomattox campaign of the Civil War began. That's it for us this morning. To get more top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to our early bird brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media at defense_news and at Military Times. The early bird brief is hosted and produced by me, Zimone Z. Perez. Today's episode featured stories by Leo Shane III, Noah Robertson, Jeff Zazulowitz, and Colin Demarest. Until next time, early birds.